It's nice to be back. So I'm going to be taking you back into the book of Colossians. I gave you the first two messages in a series. This is message number three, and I think you got the first two messages last summer. Okay, so I know that I've kept you in suspense for a long time, so we'll see what we can resolve today. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24, and I'm going to be reading right through to Colossians 2 verse 6. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to meditate together on your word. As we think about the treasure that we have in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we pray as we examine your word that your Holy Spirit would open up that treasure to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today we're going to talk about mystery and treasure, two things that I love. I enjoy mysteries. I enjoy reading mysteries and watching mysteries. I like Sherlock Holmes, and I like many of the TV detectives, and I enjoy a good mystery. As a matter of fact, one of my relatives was a great preacher, and actually he was the pastor of Moody Church, and my grandfather was visiting him because he was his cousin, and my grandfather was looking at this huge library that he had, and he saw one book on its side, a beautiful theological library, as fine a Bible library as any pastor could ever have. And my grandfather looked and he saw a paperback book on its side, and he pulled out the book, and it was an Agatha Christie. And And my grandfather looked at him like, what's this doing here? And he says, well, we can't study all the time. So anyways, everybody loves a good mystery. And of course, everybody loves treasure. I, for one, am going to be tuned in tonight in the mystery of Oak Island, or the curse of Oak Island, they call it. But it, to me, it's a mystery. But they, you know, I've been watching that show for years now. They keep finding little things, but they haven't found the treasure yet. But it's like every week, they're getting a little closer. Maybe this week is the week. They're going to find something big. I looked ahead in the TV guide, and I know they're going to find something big this week. Now, it may just be a big chunk of wood, but I'm going to be tuned in because I want to see if they'll ever find the treasure. And I love to see mysteries solved and treasure discovered. Well, that's what we're looking at today. Now, some treasures are hidden in plain sight. We're on the next slide now. Good, good, good. You can't get there. Just click, have you hit the screen thing? Then hit the, just click the thing. Just click, point and click. Here we go. Anyways, we'll meditate on the title. Okay, what you will see eventually is a picture of sticky notes. And I don't know if you know how they came to be, but 3M scientists were working on a super glue. And no matter what they did, they couldn't make the super glue they were trying to make. So all they got was a kind of a sticky glue. And so one of these scientists used the sticky glue, which was not all that sticky, but it just stuck enough, and he would use it to stick pieces of paper in his hymn book at choir practices so he could get around to the right pages. And after a while, somebody said, why don't you make this and sell it commercially? And now, who doesn't have sticky notes if you have an office? The person who actually did this is a millionaire. But it was a treasure that was hidden in plain sight. Sometimes people don't know there's a treasure until their eyes are opened. Jesus said in Matthew 13, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. Then in his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought that field. Now lots of people walked by that field, but he found the treasure. Now, the treasure that Paul's talking about, how important is this treasure? I have a picture now. That's a picture of part of King Tut's treasure. And it's, you know, when you see what King Tut left behind, there's gold everywhere. These were the riches of Egypt. But this is what the Bible says in Hebrews 11:26 about Moses. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. And in Ephesians 3:8, the Apostle Paul says, although I am the least, I'm less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You see, the treasure that is available to all who want it. The treasure is worth suffering and sacrifice. The treasure is a priceless treasure that is free. It's a treasure that has been hidden in mystery for the ages, but is now disclosed to Christians. And this is what Paul is talking about. The treasure is Christ in you. This, we all know, this is so easy. But I want you to think about it. This is the treasure that every human being needs. This is the treasure that God has made available. And every Christian has it. What we're talking about is not a set of beliefs. It's not about knowing the right stuff. It's not a matter of being smarter, of having better ideas. It's not a matter of working harder. It's not a matter of looking better to other people. The treasure is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, Paul has a deep understanding of this business of Christ in you, Christ in Christians. Because Paul hated Christians. Paul was on a campaign to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. And one day as he was going to Damascus, because he had literally attacked everyone he could in Jerusalem, as he was on his way to Damascus in Syria, he met Jesus on the road. And remember what Jesus said to Paul, or Saul at the time? Why do you persecute me? Well, Saul wasn't persecuting Jesus. Paul was persecuting Christians. But Jesus said, no, you are persecuting me. Why? Because Christ was in them. And so this is the first experience Paul has with discovering the truth that Christ is in his people. And then Paul went through an experience where he met Christ himself. And it started there, but then the scales fell off his eyes and he received the treasure of Jesus Christ himself. And as we look in this passage that I read to you in chapter 1, he talks about his own suffering, and he says in verse 24, he says, I rejoice in what I'm suffering for you. Why? Because I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regards to Christ's affliction. What in the world is he talking about? He's saying, not that he's adding to the work of the cross, but he's saying that Jesus has a work in this world that brings on suffering. And every Christian who suffers, Christ suffers with him. And you know, in the Bible it says if we suffer with him, we will be rewarded with him. We will reign with him. You see, there is an identification with Christ. Christ is in us. And Paul says, when I suffer, I'm doing Jesus' work as much as I am as when I'm writing an epistle. Because I'm where he wants me to be, and he is in me. And that gives dignity to to the experiences that we have, the suffering that we go through. We never go through suffering alone. If you know Christ, he is in you, and he is with you, and he is your hope, the hope of glory. It's amazing. We go through our things right now, and sometimes we're not even aware of the presence of God, but he is very much aware of us. And the very fact that he is in our life means that we have hope, and that the end of the road is this thing called glory. This thing that when Moses said, I want to see your glory, and God says, well, you're not allowed to. You can hide in these rocks, and you can see the backside of my glory as I go by, but you can't really see my glory because no one can. And so he saw something of God's glory. But we know that because Christ is in us, one day the glory will be shared. And that's wonderful. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, for God who said, let the light shine out of the darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And we have this treasure where? In jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We have this treasure, Christ in us, but what are we? We're clay pots. We're fragile. We're fallible. Fortunately, we're fillable. But we have issues. And that's why the power of Christ and the presence of Christ is, notice the word, surpassing, bigger than the container. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay, that's the first mystery that's talked about, and here's the second one, and it's closely attached. It's the mystery of God. Now, everybody needs a map to get to a treasure, and if God is the treasure, Jesus is the map. And Jesus is the treasure, right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the treasure, and he's the map. The mystery of God is opened up in the person Jesus Christ. God is mysterious. All we know about him is what he reveals. It's what he tells us about himself. And Jesus Christ is the ultimate revelation of God to the human race. In other words, if you don't get it from Jesus, you're not going to get it at all. He is the ultimate revelation. That's why John, and it's interesting, if you look on a map at where Colossae is in Ephesians, John was in Ephesus when he wrote, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. A lot of really good theology happening just within about 100 miles of each other here, Colossians and John. And what are they saying? The Logos, the Word, the reason, how God communicates himself to the world is found in Jesus Christ. I believe it's verse 14 of John 1. No one has seen God at any time. But but God the Son has revealed him. That's John 1:14. I might be off a little bit there, so you might want to check it out yourself. Anyways, Paul goes on to say, in whom, in Jesus, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He is the treasure and he is the map. That means that life does not make sense apart from Jesus Christ. And when we as Christians drift from Christ, what's the first thing we discover? Things don't work properly. Things don't make sense. Now, here's another thing. When, and I'm kind of taking this from C.S. Lewis, when people who don't know Christ honestly seek for truth, if they have an honest seeking, they will either come in their theories to contradiction, to dead ends, or they'll end up at the feet of Christ, because he is the truth. And you see, this is an interesting statement. Paul is saying, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That means that if I want to be a good father, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, the key to that is to begin with Christ. Now, we see the same things in the Old Testament, Proverbs, when it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In the New Testament, it's Jesus, okay? Sunday school answer works a lot in life. It's Jesus. If I want to be a good husband, the answer is Jesus. If I want to be a good worker, the answer is Jesus. If I want to be a good neighbor, the answer is Jesus. Being a disciple, following the example of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus, opens up all kinds of ways and all kinds of knowledge to me that I wouldn't have any other way. He is the map and he is the treasure. Sadly, Christ is still a mystery to many. Many people, they just don't get it. Maybe they've never been told. Maybe their understanding of the gospel and Christianity is it's all about what you do. It's all about behavior. It's all about which group you belong to. Because they've never understood that it's all about Jesus Christ. He's a mystery to many. Okay, I want to just take you to how Paul explains that this mystery is to be grasped. Now, it's one thing for us to say, when you become a Christian, you receive Jesus Christ. And we all believe that. In fact, we say it often to kids, you need to ask Jesus into your heart. Some adults even say that. But you can have gone through the process of having a true spiritual new birth and still not know Jesus very well, and still not even know yourself very well, because you haven't been opened up to the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that are in Jesus for you. So what does Paul say about that? In chapter 2, he says, my purpose is that they, that is the Christians who he's never met, may be encouraged in heart and united in love. Why? So that they may have the full riches of what? A complete understanding, in order that they may what? Know the mystery of God, namely Christ. So how do I know Christ? How do I know the mystery of God? Well, Paul gives two things that he feels are really, really important. The first one is to be encouraged in heart. What does that mean? Well, you notice I've got on the other side of the page there the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I've got two phrases there, and I'll come back to this encouragement in a minute. Sensing the Spirit of Christ is the work, sensing the presence of Christ is the work of the Holy Spirit. The primary work of the Holy Spirit is to bring Jesus to us. Okay? That's, if you read John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, you'll see that's what Jesus taught about the Holy Spirit. When he comes, what he will do. He said, he will take from me and give it to you. He will bring the Father and I to you. That's the big mystery we're talking about here. When we say I ask Jesus into my heart, what I'm doing is asking, really the Holy Spirit is the person who comes in, right? And he makes Jesus a part of me. And I don't know how to explain that, but that's exactly what's happening. And this is what Paul wrote in Romans 5:5. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. So what happens, the beginning of Romans 5 is being justified by faith. When we are justified by faith, God pours his Holy Spirit into every Christian. He fills us with himself. And the Bible says that he also fills us with his love. And as you read the other writings of Paul, the natural outcome of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is fruit. And the fruit are descriptive of the character of Jesus Christ. Okay? So, being encouraged and heard. I'm going to tell you something that you might not be aware of. The word that Paul uses there for encourage is the same word that Jesus used when he was telling us that he promised us another comforter, or you could say encourager, or you could say helper. The word literally there is paraclete, one who is called alongside to help. So what Paul is saying there, he's talking about Christians who are indwelt by Christ, by the Holy Spirit. We are to be standing beside one another, supporting one another, helping one another through the power and direction of Jesus Christ. How do we grasp that treasure? We grasp that treasure, and this is what I've learned when I read this. We cannot grasp the treasure by ourselves. You could receive the treasure by yourself, but you can't understand it without others. We need to be part of a body of believers. We need to be responsible and accountable to a group of believers that take seriously the Word of God. And in that situation, we need to be standing and supporting others. Now, we can't connect to everybody, not even in a church like this. There's only going to be a few people that we can get really close to. But we need to get close to someone. We need to get close to some people, because the way God has set things up is that we cannot grow in isolation. We only grow in, if I can use the word, communion. Right? That's the plan of God. We need Christ. We need his body. look what he says. And it's encouraged in heart and united in love. Again, the literal word there is knit together, interwoven. So we're talking about Christians. We're meant to be knit together in love. We're meant to be working together. And of course, this is the same thing he talks about when he talks about the functioning of the body of Christ, where certain parts of the body help other parts of the body, and lesser parts are honored by greater parts, and all these wonderful things he says about the body of Christ. There's this connection that we need in the church to really understand what it is to be indwelt by Jesus Christ. That means that Christ manifests his presence and power when real Christians work together for his sake. Now, how do you do this? Well, if you read more of Colossians, there are some important words that Paul puts in there as commands. One of them is forbearance. Do you know how forbearance works? You don't need forbearance when you're like when you're with people you enjoy being with. You don't need forbearance to eat a bowl of ice cream. But there are some things, if you're asked to eat them, you might need some forbearance. And there are some people that forbearance is necessary if you're going to have Christian fellowship with them, because they are rubbing you the wrong way. Guess what? If you're in the Church of Jesus Christ, there are going to be people in the church that rub you the wrong way. And you know what? You better learn how to put up with it. Because if you can't put up with it, you can't put up with Jesus either. Because Jesus is in those other Christians. And his command is to forbear. Another word he uses is patience. Would you like to know the secret of patience? I'll tell you later. I'll go on to my next point now. No, patience is endurance. And I know it's after 12, so some of you are already using for patience and forbearance on me. But remember, this is a good thing. Okay. And the last one is long-suffering. Long-suffering. Can you think of anything good that happens that you can describe as long-suffering? Yet, Paul uses those words as requirements for his people to enjoy his presence and understand his word. Doesn't that kind of... Oh, did I mention the word forgiveness? We better add forgiveness there too. You know who you forgive? People who have sinned against you. This is what it takes to have Jesus, to experience the reality of Jesus in your life. If you think you experience the reality of Jesus just in the good times when you're singing the happy songs and you're with people and you're here, you're doing things you really like, then you haven't read the whole book. You don't get it. It's the whole picture. It's real people. The treasurer's grasp when you stand side by side with real Christians who have weaknesses and sins and habits that annoy you. And if you can't do that, you can't get at the treasure. Because Jesus works through others. We need the help and love of others in Christ to get to know Jesus and ourselves better. May God give you the grace to understand the reality, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the mystery that has been opened to us, the treasure that has been given to us. Help us to appreciate the Savior, and help us to appreciate our brothers and sisters in whom he dwells. In his name we pray. Amen.